Father, thank you for your word, Lord, to enlighten us, to instruct us, to guide us. Thank you for the Spirit of God, Lord, that gives us insight, gives us understanding, Lord, as we read it, and as we ask you to help us. Lord, bless your people today, Lord, together as they come here now. I pray, Lord, the Word of God will be exactly what we need, Lord, to be ready for tomorrow, the rest of this day. Lord, we know that we ought to be witnesses to you all the time. And God, give us that wisdom, give us that power that we need, Lord, to be able to do that, to bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, now turn with me this morning to the book of John, chapter 8. John chapter 8, as we look again at a human example of human forgiveness. Human forgiveness. In chapter 7 of the book of John, we'll be in chapter 8, but chapter 7 goes right into chapter 8. The Bible is inspired of God. Sometimes these chapters run together. And this is a situation here where chapter 7 runs right on into chapter 8. But we see here an event taking place. We find here that the Jews here are having the Feast of Tabernacles. And in chapter 7, and we see Jesus, of course, he wants to go. And his disciples remind him that the Jews hate him. And you better beware if you go. And anyway, he instructs them to go to the feast. And of course, he goes also. And we find when he goes, verse 14 in chapter 7 says, "Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up to the temple and taught." In other words, Jesus is going to the temple again to teach here at the Feast of Tabernacles. And we see he goes. And then we find over in verse number 28, "Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, 'You both know me and know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me.'" Verse number 30, "Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come." They didn't like his teaching because of his saying who he was. And they didn't like that. They didn't want to do that. Listen to him. And we see also over in verse number 37, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as his scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.'" And then we go down to verse number 43 in chapter 7. "So there was a division among the people because of him." In verse 12, you see that some called him a good man, some said he was a deceiver, some called him a prophet, and other things like that. But we see there was a division now among the people because of him. In verse 44, "And some of them would have taken him." They would have killed him, literally. "But no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, 'Why have you not brought him?'" Notice the answers of the officer. Verse 46, "The officers answered, 'Never man spake like this man.'" And we can all say amen to that. There's never been a greater teacher than Jesus Christ. Never a man spake like he spake. And we'll see as it goes on, we find over in verse 53 of chapter 7, "And every man went into his own house at the end of the day," at the end of the day now, they're closing out. And notice verse chapter 8, verse 1, "And Jesus went up to the Mount of Olives." In other words, they left the temple, they went to their homes, but Jesus went up to the mountain. You know, isn't it amazing how Jesus often goes to the mountain? You know, the Son of Man has not a home to stay when he was here, did he? He did not have a place to stay. But he went into the mountain, the Bible says here, as he retired for the evening out of the town. Like the people that were there, they went out also and to their homes or places to rest. So we see here, now what happened in verse number 2? "And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them." Now, there were probably people that were lingering that did not leave the tabernacle, did not leave the feast to go home. They were still hanging around. And early the next morning, I like that. Jesus was an early riser. He was an early riser. And we find he got up early and he went back to the temple there And we find here this people were still there. They came there to hear him teach. You know, you and I just can't imagine what it'd be like to sit down and be able to listen to Jesus teach. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Praise God, one day we will. He's going to instruct us. He's going to guide us one day. We're going to be in his very presence. But until then, we have to realize that these people were blessed to have that opportunity. And while we have the opportunity today of hearing from his word, from men of God that teach the word of God. So we find here what a diligent preacher, teacher Jesus Christ was. No man spake like this man spake, the Bible says. No man could teach like he taught. Now notice, the time was early in the morning. Jesus was there at the temple. We find the places in the temple, and we find his position. He is sitting down. He's teaching. He's teaching the people that are there in the temple. Now, we see all the people come to him. No doubt there's always a crowd when Jesus was there. He could always draw a crowd, couldn't he, because of his ability to teach and to inspire people and encourage people. And yet sometimes he spake words that people didn't want to hear. But yet he was the greatest teacher that's ever lived in all the world. Also we see now in verse number 3, we pick up something else here. As we find, Jesus is there trying to speak in the temple with the people there. And verse 3 says, and the scribes and Pharisees, there's always scribes and Pharisees, right? The scribes and Pharisees, the Bible says, brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? And then we find in verse number 6, this they said, notice, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Now Jesus is busy teaching in the temple. And we find the Pharisees and Sadducees come in there with him with a woman that they said has been taken in adultery. Taken in adultery. And we see here the scribes, they picked out this time to come to him. We see, first of all, the Pharisees to Jesus. Okay? Secondly, we're going to see Jesus to the Pharisees, and then we're going to see Jesus to the woman. There are three things in this passage right here, verses 1 through 11. First of all, the Pharisees to Jesus. They come to Jesus with this woman taken in adultery. We see in verse number 3, they set the prisoner before him. In verse number 4 says, they preferred indictment against her. They wanted Jesus to do something to her because of what she had done. And we just find in verse number 5, they produced evidence in this case. So we find here she was caught in the very act, they said. That's what they said here. And so we see in verse number 6, then said they tempting him, tempting Jesus. Can you imagine tempting Jesus? Well, here they were, tempting Christ. They were trying to literally trap him or to trick him. We see this in this passage right here. See, the Pharisees attempting to bring the Jews, first of all, against Moses and also against Jesus Christ in what they were trying to do here, in tempting this lady here on what she did. So in verse number 6, he says, they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. In other words, they wanted to accuse Jesus also. You know, find something wrong with Jesus. I'm going to tell you, listen, you and I, the world, can look all we want to and try all we want to. We can't find anything wrong with Jesus. He's the perfect Son of God. He never has changed. He never will change. And I'm thankful today to know that we serve a perfect Savior, one that is always willing to help us. So we see here, the Pharisees come to Jesus with this woman. They said, taken in adultery. Jesus, what are you going to do with her? Moses says we are to stone her, we are to kill her. Now he says, what sayest thou? Jesus, what is your answer? In verse number 6, but Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. You know, this is the only verse in the Bible, well, there's two verses in here, that you see Jesus writing. He's writing with his finger. We don't know what he wrote on the ground, only he knows. But I know one thing, in his humbleness, his compassion for this lady that was taken in adultery, it did something to these people's heart, these Sadducees and Pharisees that came with her there. As he wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. You don't think he heard them? Yes, he heard them, but he wrote on the ground like he did not hear them. Now, look at verse number 7 here, that we see the truth. We see in verses 3 through 6, the trap the Pharisees put Jesus in. Now we're going to see the truth is going to come out, because Jesus now is speaking to the Pharisees. He's speaking to the Pharisees in verse number 7 through 9. We see the truth here. We see here, verse number 7, so when they continued asking him, even though Jesus was sitting, squatting down, he was riding on the ground, they were still asking him, he lifted up himself. He stood up, so to speak, and notice, he said unto them, notice what he said, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone. In other words, is anybody here a sinner? If not, cast the first stone. Cast the first stone. That's what he said. We find here, because of this, this is a method that Jesus took to resolve this case. We're going to see why a little later on. But we see here, this is what he did. He stooped down, rolled the ground. He was also slow to speak. He was thinking about what he was going to say, even though he already knew it because he was God. Sometimes we need to be slow in what we speak, don't we? Sometimes we speak too fast. Especially when we're tempted or we run into a situation like this. Christ heard their words and he knew their hearts. That's the main thing. He not only heard what they said about this woman, but they also knew their hearts. He knew how wicked they were. They had done as bad, if not even worse, than she had when they brought her to him for an accusation. Here we see this. So we see the method he took to resolve this case. Look at verse number 8. And again he stooped down. And notice he again wrote on the ground. This is the second time he wrote on the ground. After he stood up and said, he that is without sin among us, let us first cast a stone. And then he stooped down again and wrote on the ground. And notice what happened in verse number 9. Amazing thing took place here. As he began to write on the ground, he didn't have to say a word. He turned the conversation of the prisoners upon the prosecutors. In other words, he turned the situation to them. Why are you doing what you're doing, he says here. But they continued asking. And we find here, he put them to shame, you see, and silence. As it said, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone. He put them to shame because they begin now to think upon themselves. Think upon themselves. What have I done in my life? What have I done in my life? And we see here, he says, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone. The only one without sin, notice, the only one without sin never cast a stone. Who was that? Jesus. Jesus. He never cast a stone. He's the only one that's ever cast a stone without sin. We notice in verse number 8, and again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. He left them. He stooped down again and wrote on the ground. He let them think again. Think about what you're doing. Think about what you're saying, you see. And then we see in verse number 9, the scribes and Pharisees know what's happened to them as Jesus put them thinking. And they which heard it, the scribes and Pharisees, being convicted by their own what? Conscience. They were being convicted by their own conscience. You know, that's what the Word of God does, isn't it? And the Spirit of God. It convicts our conscience, our heart. And here these wicked people were, scribes and Pharisees, accusing somebody of doing something, whether it's true or not, they were just as bad as she was. We find here the words of Jesus and the actions of Jesus, the method of Jesus, convicted them in their hearts, in their conscience. And notice what it says, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out, how? One by one. Beginning at the oldest one left first. Eldest one maybe understanding more than the other ones did, but we see the eldest one left first, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. So we find here, Jesus here, the scribes and Pharisees, they left out one by one. The Word of God brought conviction to these sinners as he said what he said. It is foolish for those under conviction to get away from Jesus. They can't do it. Jesus is going to still convict. I'm so glad that the first time that God, through his word, convicted me of my sin as a sinner, That wasn't the last time. He kept on. Until I recognized, hey, I need to be saved. And this is what happened to these guys here. They didn't respond. They left. They just looked and left because they knew they were guilty. And so we see here, notice that Jesus was left alone now, and the woman standing in the midst. Now, she did not seek to escape. She could have flew. She could have left, couldn't she? But she didn't leave. She stayed there with Jesus. And she did not escape. But those who cause is brought before our Lord, Jesus will never have occasion to remove it into another court. In other words, Jesus will settle your case personally. He will settle my case personally. And he will settle this woman's case personally, just like he will those scribes and Pharisees. He don't need a judge. He's the only judge. He's the one that's going to judge all of us. And we see here, we are left with Jesus alone when it comes to being saved or being lost. It's all between us and him. And we see this here in this situation. It is with him only that we have to deal. This woman had to deal with Jesus face to face. I like that old song we used to sing so much. Face to face with Christ my Savior. That's a wonderful song. It's a wonderful message in that song. And we realize that we need to face him. We see the Pharisees to Jesus. Now we've seen the Jesus to the Pharisees. And now thirdly we see, as we conclude this trial, we see here Jesus to the woman in verse 10 and 11. We've seen a trap. And now we're going to look here at the terms. How did Jesus handle this lady? Notice what he said in verse number 10. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none, well, the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. We notice here the conclusion. The woman was standing, no doubt trembling. All the scribes, the Pharisees, those people that brought her there and accused her, they were gone. It's just her and Jesus. No doubt she was nervous. She was probably trembling. I don't know. But we see here, Christ was without sin. He could cast the first stone. We see here, by the grace and mercy, he called the prosecutors. And they did not appear. They were not there. They were gone. They had already left. So we see, hath no man condemned thee, he asked her, here in this verse. And she said, no man, Lord. Notice, first of all, he faced Christ. And then number second, we see, he forgave her. He says, no man, Lord. And Christ dismissed her with caution. Now go and sin no more. A new life, a new name now. Go and sin no more. This is an indication to us that Jesus Christ forgave this lady of her sin. He said, go and sin no more. That's what Jesus said when he saved you. Now don't sin no more. I've done something for you that nobody else could ever do. I've given you eternal life. And I want you to live your life for me. We see here, Christ dismissed her with caution. We see here, go and sin no more. Christ's favor to us in the remission of our sins, folks, listen, from the past, should motivate us as children of God to go and sin no more because of what he's done for us. He's forgiven us. He saved us. He's forgiven our sins. We see the Lord Jesus here with a fallen woman and what he does for her. He does not condemn her, but he asks her to go and sin no more. Now, we notice something here in verse 11. Jesus Christ treated this woman very graciously, did he not? He could have sent her away too. But the woman addressed him as Lord, which is evidence, again, that she believed in him. He revealed his grace unto her, but that grace demands something. That grace demands holiness. Right living, you see. Forgiveness must be followed by a new life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Forgiveness. This woman was forgiven by Jesus, even though these men brought her there to accuse her and literally to have her killed. Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. Now notice Jesus in the process of forgiving this lady in verse 1 through 11. First of all, the Pharisees are used to attempt and to bring the Jews against Moses and trip Jesus. That's what their purpose is, their motive was. They did this. But Jesus, however, turns the table on them, and the accusers go away accused, while the accused walks away forgiven and free. What a tremendous story here. We see the table is turned completely. It's turned completely now. The one that was accused, now she goes away free. Those that were accused, they go away accused. And so we see here now how God does this. The Pharisees in verse 4 and 5, they said, this woman was taken in adultery. Moses commanded such to be stoned. What therefore do you say? Jesus, what are you going to do with her? What are you going to do with her? And then we also see as Jesus to the Pharisees in verses 6 through 9, after writing something on the ground, we don't know what it was, he that is without sin, he said, among you, let him first cast the stone. He got them to thinking. You know, Jesus knows what to say. Jesus knows how to get your attention. Jesus knows how to get my attention. And Jesus knew how to get their attention too. I just simply stooping on the ground, writing there, and then standing up and asking the question about who among you can cast a stone. And then we see also in verses 10 and 11, Jesus said to the woman, where are those thine accusers that accused you? And she responded, they've all left, literally. And he said, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. Now why did Jesus say that to her? Why didn't Jesus deal with her in a different way? Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. First of all, I believe he did this way because he was no judge or no divider at this time. He don't like to divide people. He likes people to love one another. His kingdom was not on this earth. His kingdom was not in this world at this time. That's why he did this. We also see it was because he was cautious. He was very cautious in what he did, what he said, how he dealt with people. He had the mind, he had the heart to deal with people the proper way. She was prosecuted by those guilty more than herself. More than herself, no doubt. We also see, for Christ to say, I do not condemn thee, is in effect to say, I do forgive you. He said, by the way, the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin. You believe that? He did. We find it in Luke chapter 5, verse 24. Matthew and Mark also gives us an indication that Jesus had the power to forgive sin on earth. But these scribes and Pharisees, they didn't agree with that. They didn't take that. They didn't believe him. He had the power to do that. But so we see, he knew the tenderness here, Jesus did, and the sincere repentance of this lady. Therefore, he said that he would comfort her. He wanted to comfort her. He wanted to help her in her need, you see. We find that those are truly happy today in their lives who Christ doth not condemn. Jesus said to be condemned. We're condemned already as lost people, aren't we? But it's good to know you're not condemned because you've been saved. You've been born again. You've been forgiven of your sins. And we see here an example, again, of forgiveness. The Lord Jesus Christ forgiving this lady of the awful sin that was brought before him that she had done. Christ will not condemn those who, though they have sinned, will go and sin no more. You know, in our Christian life, ever since we've been saved, no doubt, all of us have sinned, haven't we? But you know, I'm so glad that 1 John 1, 9 is in the Bible, that we can ask God to forgive us and go again, and go again, and go again. He says, go and sin no more. He's saying to me, he's saying to you today, child of God, my children, listen to me, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. That should be our goal. That should be what we're trying to accomplish in our life. We know we're going to sin, but it should be our motive to try to go and sin no more and do no more like he instructed this lady here to do this. Also, Christ's favor to us is the remission of our sins. That's his favor to us that are past, because they are past forgiven. Again, this should motivate us. This should inspire us to try to sin less. Now, we know we're not going to be sinless, but we should try to sin less in our life as God's children, you see, because this is what we ought to do. Now, in conclusion of this story, this account here about Jesus with the woman in adultery as brought to the fallen woman, we see some things here. First of all, these Jewish leaders, these scribes and Pharisees, they had already disregarded the law of Moses when they brought this adulterous lady to Jesus by herself. The Jewish law required, when people had been caught in adultery, that in order for them to be stoned, both people had to be there, the male and the female, in order for the law to be followed. And so they had already disregarded the law in even bringing the woman here. So we also see the law required both parties to be there. We also see the leaders here were using the woman to tempt Jesus. They were using the woman to tempt Jesus and trying to see what he was going to do. I'm so glad that, you know, Jesus has been tempted a lot while he was here, but he never yielded to temptation. He never yielded to temptation. He always stood for what was right. He always stood for what was right. See, now, when they asked Jesus, what are you going to do with this lady? Now, Jesus, he had a choice to make here. He had a choice to make, you see. First of all, if Jesus had said to the woman that she should be slain, they would accuse him of violating. If Jesus said she should not have been slain, they would accuse Jesus of violating the Mosaic law, because the Mosaic law should say she should be stoned. Now, if he said that. On the other hand, if he had urged them to kill her, they would no doubt have reported him to the Romans. And reporting him to the Romans, which says they do not permit the Jews to carry out the execution. They cannot do it on their own, because the Roman law says they can't do it. So Jesus had two choices here, two choices. And we find that he did always the right thing. So we see Jesus by saying that only a sinless person can throw the first stone. This triggered a thought in their mind. And we see here, because of that, he showed two things. He showed here by saying that, he showed the importance of compassion and also the importance of forgiveness. Let him that is among us cast the first stone. We see here the importance of compassion and also the importance of forgiveness in the life of Jesus here. Jesus did not condemn the woman accused of adultery. He did not condemn her. Notice also, though, neither did he ignore or condone her sin. He did not do that either. He didn't say, it's okay, just let her go. No, she won't do it again. No, he did not do that. We also see that he told her to go and to sin no more. To go and sin no more. And in doing so, we see here, with God's help, you and I, we can also accept Christ's forgiveness like she did. He forgave her because of what she did in her life. And he told her to go and to sin no more. What a choice this lady had to make here. And while we find here our Savior, he's always doing what he ought to do, isn't he? Always doing what he ought to do. So what would you have here today? We have here our Lord. He spent the night on the mountain. He spent the night on the mountain. Early in the morning, he came back down to the temple, there to be with the people, to do what he liked the most, no doubt, to teach them and instruct them. And we find here, before he even got started good, here comes the scribes and Pharisees with this, they call, adulterous lady. Brought her before them. And we see this, chapter 7. They did not like him. They did not like his teaching. And they would, if they could have, had killed him. But the Bible says it wasn't his hour. It wasn't his time, you see, for that to take place here, see. So the woman had been apprehended in adultery here and was brought into his presence. And they formed, no doubt, a circle around Jesus there with the lady in the very center of where he was. And trying to mock him and make fun of him, putting the Holy One of Israel alongside one of the sinful creatures in whom he came to die for, this wicked woman. And we find here, as they did this, we do not know who this woman was. But I believe with all my heart, one day in heaven we'll see her. We'll see her because she was forgiven. Jesus forgave her of her sin. And I'm glad today to know that Jesus still saved, don't you? He still forgives sin of people that will call upon him here. We see here her state, she was taken in adultery. And again, the law of Moses demanded the death penalty. We also see here, they plotted the schemes to hurt her, to probably, and also her, their thoughts. Nothing was hid from God. He knew this lady. He knew the scribes and Pharisees. You know, we need to be conscious of the fact today, friends, that nothing we do is hid from God. He sees everything we do. Even deeper than that, he knows every thought that we have, whether it's right or not. And we need to be cautious of this, realizing that we need to go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. This is what he was trying to say this. And again, this is the only passage you read about where Jesus wrote. He wrote on the ground. He wrote on the ground twice. I want to ask you, when I get to heaven, what did you write? What did you put on the ground? You know, I don't think it was so much what he wrote on the ground was, it was what he said to him. If you hear it, you're not a sinner, cast a stone. And that's just what he said. Well, they couldn't swallow that. That got all of them. That got all of them down where it really hurts, you know. When he said that to them, you see. But see, we see the same finger, though, that wrote in the dust, wrote the law also, didn't it? It wrote the law. We see also, not a word came from his lip to begin with until he stooped down and began to write. And then we see when he got up, he said, he that is without sin among us, let him cast the first stone. What a question. What a question. He that is among us, even today in church, in 2017, he that is among us without sin, let us cast the first stone. So they are all left. All who speak to them knew their lives in sin. From the eldest to the youngest, they all left. And we see the accused lady remain alone face to face with Jesus. And we find he knew her sin too. He says, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. We see the forgiveness of Jesus. I'm so glad today to know that Jesus forgives our sin. Not only when we got saved, but right on even today, he still forgives us. He forgives us. He's a merciful Savior. He was merciful to this woman, was he not? He also was merciful and really to the scribes and Pharisees, because he could have done a lot of things to them they didn't do. But he was merciful to them also. And I don't know whether any of them ever got saved later on or not. I don't know that. But I know one thing. This lady went away with peace in her heart, rejoicing, because she had been forgiven. She had been forgiven. The only happy people in the world today are those that are forgiven of their sins. You know that? That's us, God's people. We ought to be happy. We ought to rejoice in the world to know, hey, my sins have been forgiven. Jesus forgave me. You know? I'm so glad today to know that we can know that we are forgiven too. And we see also here in this passage of Scripture here, the love of Christ, the compassion of Christ, the mercy of Christ, the grace towards mankind. He knows our hearts. He knows how to deal with us. He knows how to deal with every one of us here today. And I pray, God, we will allow him to do that. And though we might have this thought in our mind today as we leave this Sunday school class, go and sin no more. That's what he told this lady. He's telling us that too. Father, thank you today for loving us. Thank you for the Word of God that you've given us. Thank you for Jesus, the example he is, a great teacher. Lord, no doubt, he's the best teacher that's ever walked upon this earth. And God, I thank you, Lord, that he's given us these verses of these scriptures today, Lord, to encourage us and to enlighten us, Lord, of where we should be living our lives to follow you. Father, we thank you for forgiving us. We thank you for saving us. We thank you to God for forgiving this lady in adultery, Lord, and how these accusers were brought her in to kill her. And God, we know the world today does not like us, just like the world didn't like you when you were here. But Lord, you told us that. The world's going to hate you like they hated me. But he tells us also, be of good cheer, for I have overcome. And also shall you overcome the world. We thank you, Lord, for that promise today as we go out day after day. Lord, help us to have the attitude to go and to sin no more because of your great forgiveness to each one of us personally in our lives. Bless down the service we're about to go into. Have your will and way. May you be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.